Hello, ladies of No BS. I am Coach Lizzie, and I am here to talk to you about our today's Q&A with Corinne, where she was talking about finding wins and lessons from the past year. So I'm so excited to be here. Also, a fun thing that's going to happen today is I am hopefully going to be joined by Coach Kathy. And I've never added somebody to the Facebook Live before, so we're just going to like kind of see what happens. And see how that goes. So I'm actually gonna pull up Facebook here on my screen here. Yeah. All right. Awesome. So quick thoughts while we're waiting for Coach Kathy to come on is that where did it go? Save the date for Sunday, December 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the ultimate No BS diet and weight reset. So Sunday, December 29th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. It's a free workshop. It's included in your membership, but fun fact, you can invite your friends for just $19. I mean, who wouldn't like that, right? Friends, $19, come along for the ride. Hey, Coach Kathy, how are you doing tonight?
I am good, Coach Lizzie. How are you?
Good. I'm so grateful that you're joining me today. Thank you.
Of course. Lead the way.
Lead the way. Yes. Well, for everyone watching, fun fact, Coach Kathy and I kind of feel like partners in crime. We have projects that kind of align together. And so we have lots in common. And I'm just so grateful to be joined by you tonight, Kathy. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So we're recapping today's Facebook Live, which was about becoming the hero of your 2024. And I took some notes, which is always helpful. But some things about Corinne's Facebook Live was kind of, I thought, like, as an overview, we looked back at 2024, like, what went well, where do you want to change the story, and then, like, how do you want to look ahead to 2025? Mm-hmm. And it's all encompassed in the concept of the theme of the month, which is becoming the hero of your own story. Mm-hmm. So, first part of the Facebook Live was, first part of the Q&A was looking back at 2024. And I really liked the way Corinne did it, because I've done lots of like year in review, year ahead, and there's different questions you can ask. But, you know, as Corinne does, she's like, no bullshit. Like, let's just get to the chase. And she was like, what's your story? And if it was tough, that's okay. Like, let's be real about it, but like, you get to tell the story. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, 2024 was a shit show. And just blah, 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 all of the hard things. And that can feel really true. And you don't want to like sugarcoat it. You don't want to toxic positivity yourself. But even in the story of XYZ was hard, or I had no idea this would happen, or, you know, I did some things right, but some things just really, I did not achieve my goals. There's an opportunity for you to look for, where was I resilient? Where was I strong? Where was I brave and persistent and so forth? And
Where did I try new things?
Yeah.
You know, all those little bitty things that, you know, we get that hindsight bias where we always think that's wrong, right? It takes intention to come back in and go, all right, there had to be some good. Where is it? Let me find it.
Yes, exactly. And one of the things that I like to look at is, you know, when I'm reflecting back on something that went well, what didn't go well, and be like, okay, it's not where I want to be, but look how far I have come. Mm-hmm. And so you can look at the whole year, 2024 is like, maybe I'm not where I want to be yet, but how far have I come? Where are some things where I did make a little bit of progress? Now, Kathy, why is it so hard for our, like the way that our lovely, amazing, miraculous human brains are wired, why is it so hard for our brains to just naturally find those areas where we were resilient, where we made progress and things like that?
Oh, Lizzie, you know, you're talking my language here. It's, and Corinne talks about this at the very beginning of her training. She talks about how we are, as humans, our brains are always scanning for danger. And that goes back to caveman days. Y'all have heard her talk about the pumas and the tigers, and you come out of the cave and you got to make sure you're not going to get eaten before you go look for your berries. We have not evolved that much from those people. We still have that survival instinct, that primal part of our brain that is always scanning for danger. therefore, we're always looking for problems. We're always trying to solve the problems. And that happens to us automatically, rather than, let's think about all the good things that happened today. That takes intention and it takes commitment. You know, it takes us having to do that on purpose, whereas we're just naturally going to see everything that went wrong, everything that's bad, everything that's dangerous, right?
For sure. And if I'm coming along to the new year's coming up and like, oh, I know I'm supposed to do this year in review, look ahead, resolutions, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. If I'm not being proactive and intentional, what's my brain going to find looking back at 2024?
All the problems, all the overeats, all the gains, all the weeks that, you know, you didn't want to get on the scale, all the people that pissed you off, everyone that said, nobody's going to remember, hey, you look really nice today. They're all going to remember somebody who went, you know, Uncle Bocephus, who went, put on some weight this year, Kathy. You know, that's what we remember. It takes intention to recall the good things, to actually annotate them. We should be writing gratitude every day. We should be writing things that go right every day. You know, Corinne coached me on that once, right?
Oh my gosh.
So back in the day, back before I was coach, she and I would talk and she would tell me, I would tell her all the things that were going wrong. And she's, you know, because I'm a good catastrophizer, Lizzie. Let's just be honest. I can tell you all the problems. And she told me, she said, all right, your assignment is to write three things that went right today, every day on your plan in your journal. And that actually morphed into a version of the journal way back when, the three things that went right today on it. So it takes us doing that on purpose to be able to see it. And it takes us doing this kind of evaluation, this kind of assessment at the end of the year with our conscious brains going back and saying, okay, it couldn't have been all bad. Let's find some of the things that were okay. Yeah. What do we want?
Yeah. And that's what this whole Q&A today was about, was becoming the hero of your story, of the story of 2024. Mm-hmm. Even if your habit brain, your default brain wants to say 2024 was a flush, I want to just move on from it. That's fine. Like, hopefully there were some things that you're like, no, I made some progress, I learned some things. But even if not, there are areas you can look at where you were resilient, where you were brave, and you can proactively, purposefully look for the areas where you came out on top. And it's interesting, you know, for those of you watching, Kathy and I were part of a conversation yesterday with a couple of people where we were talking about how do you become the hero of your own story. And one of my favorite questions, because I'm a coach and I love questions, is when something feels hard, when something feels like, I really wish this hadn't happened, the question after I have my pity party, of course. But after that, then I say, how is this happening for me? And what that really means to me is like, I don't know how, I don't know when, but somehow I am going to be the Katniss Everdeen of this story. I'm going to be the Harry Potter. I'm going to be the Luke Skywalker, and I'm going to come out and make this part of my journey where I needed this problem, this pain, this thing that I really didn't want. It's going to help shape me into something better. And actually, I have a specific example where I have told myself that story and continue to do so. So Kathy, you know, I've talked to you and many of the No BS members before that, like, one of the main things I consistently work on is my relationship with alcohol. And I remember so many conversations with my coach where I'd be talking about it and I'd be like, I'm not thrilled with myself, but I am telling myself the story that my challenge, my struggle with this is going to help a client someday. And so that's my way of saying, how is this happening for me? How is my struggle happening for me? And I'm choosing to tell myself the story that it's happening for me because my struggle will help me be more empathetic to someone who is struggling with something similar in the future. Help me, I figure something out and I can share it with you. And help me just be like, girl, I have no answers for you, but I've been there. I'm here with you.
Yeah. Yeah. My question, very similar to yours, is what's the lesson here? Mm. So if I have an overeat, what's the lesson here? What was going on? What do I need to pivot? How can I, you know, how can I create a little safety? How can I create a little calm before I eat? What's the lesson here is my one of my favorite questions, and I ask my clients that a lot. I say, okay, we've had this. What did we learn? Because to me, assessing like what we're doing this month in Be the Hero of Your Story, assessing the year opens up the doors for what we can do next year, what we can try. What, you know, I guess it was last week, Corinne talked about, what do you want to keep doing? What do you want to start doing? What do you want to stop doing? Basically is what that is, that'll keep, start, stop. You won't be able to do that unless you assess without judging yourself, without getting angry, using that front part of your brain that's very cognitive and conscious and not reactive, and then looking forward to, you know, okay, I did this assessment. What did I learn? What's the lesson here? And how do I want to carry that forward? So,
yeah, and I love the way you say that, and especially with your beautiful, kind, warm, unique Kathy tone that, like, for everyone who's listening, when you hear Kathy say, like, what's the lesson here? Ask yourself as if Kathy is asking you that, as if it's like, this is a kindness that you're doing for yourself, rather than like, hey, dumbass, what did you learn? Like, let's not go there.
Yeah. Right. My clients don't hear me call them dumbass very often. Do yours?
I don't imagine they would. No, I can't say that I've ever called a client that, myself that. But that's the thing, right? We're happy to call ourselves names, but we wouldn't say that to somebody else. And it's interesting. A client asked me that today, like, why is it so much easier for me to have compassion for somebody else and I can't for myself? And I'd be curious to hear your answer, Kathy, but my answer to her was, well, it's easier for you to have compassion for me because you're not worried about whether or not I am in the good graces of the tribe. You could care less, like your survival brain, basically. Whereas your survival brain cares a lot whether or not you are within the good graces of the tribe. And so your inner critic is serving that purpose of helping you align with, like, what am I supposed to be doing here? What are your thoughts? Why is it easier to be more compassionate to others than ourselves?
Along the same lines, just to speak it like super simply, I don't worry about what I think about myself. I worry about what you think about me. How about that? So if I'm nice to you, this is the people pleaser that's in all of us. If I'm nice to you, Lizzie, if I'm compassionate to you, I'm thinking that things are going to be okay. You know, that you're gonna respond compassionately. And if I can't give that compassion to myself, maybe Lizzie will give it to me because I've given it to her. I think that's what's going on in a lot of our brains that we don't really pay attention to.
Interesting.
It's much easier. You know, we have that dialogue in our brain with all the shoulds and everything that, you know, we learned behaviors over the years, you know, what our parents told us, what our teachers told us, what our bosses told us. I hear that in my brain more often than I hear, now, Kathy, I think you did okay with that overeat. You only ate, you know, 3 bites past instead of 2, rather than what's really going on in my brain is like, you dumbass, you overate again, right? It's that, and Corinne talked about this too, that black and white thinking. That mm-hmm. happens inside of our heads, but not so much when we're talking to someone else, when we're offering a compassion to them.
Yeah. That's a really interesting take. That's a great point that I, you know, our survival brain cares more about what you think of me than what I think of me.
Yeah. I mean, of, like you said, it's part of being, you know, part of the group, mm-hmm. part of the tribe. You know, what creates safety in that primal brain of ours is this connection we have with other people.
Yeah. And
I go around being ugly to them, like I'm ugly to myself. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to lose my status within the group, or I'm going to be out. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So try and hold my status within the group.
Right. Speaking of the voice of the primitive brain, one of the things that Corinne talked about in the Q&A today was, like, you know, it's really normal and expected that we're going to have those negative thoughts. And a lot of times we want to say, I just need to get over this. I just wish it would go away, or, you know, different topic. But sometimes Corinne will say, like, you know, I just wish I would no longer have these excuses. And God bless Corinne in her very no BS way. She's like, they're not going anywhere. Like, stop wishing for that. They're staying. And frankly, they have an evolutionary purpose, those, you know, negative thoughts and so forth. But I loved what she said in the Q&A today when she said, you know, you need to have a power thought because your brain is designed to default to old thoughts. And so you need to have a power thought that you think on purpose to balance the default thoughts, to kind of have a conversation with, because like the default thoughts are not a problem. Not only are they not going away, but they're not a problem. You don't want to make them a problem. What you do want to do is have a conversation with those default thoughts, because the problem happens when we don't have a conversation, when we just let those default thoughts run wild. And here's what she said that I like bolded it in capital letters. So here was the Corinne's power thought, which was, it does not matter what my brain is telling me. It matters what I do next. And I just thought that that was really like a beautiful power thought of like, my brain is going to tell me some shit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is what I choose to do next. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I often talk about, I describe our brain in a couple of ways. Have you ever seen the movie Inside Out, Lizzie?
Yeah.
The Pixar movie with all the little emotions that are actually little people. And yeah. You know, we have Joy, who's always happy, and we have the little girl. I can't remember her name, the sadness little girl. Mm-hmm. She's purple, and she walks around all hunched over. I picture our habit brain as one of those little characters.
Okay.
Guy who's in the file room. Great big huge file room with all these file cabinets. And all these file cabinets are our habit thoughts that are stored. And that little guy's just doing his job. He's just running through the file cabinets, and he's picking, you know, he's going, oh, let's try this one. Let's try this one. He's randomizing our thoughts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. About my habit brain as some little guy in a file room randomizing thoughts, then I can look at it with a different perspective. I can then discern, okay, that's a habit thought. Do I want to lean into that one or not? Or do I just want to move into action? So that's how I think about it. That's how I kind of personify my habit brain, because it's just doing its job, right? It's just doing what we've trained it to do. It's not a bad guy. It's just back there with a Rolodex and a file cabinet of thoughts, just offering me one.
Yeah, that's great. When a similar kind of thinking that a client once offered me was like, our brains are like a Google search engine. That like our thoughts are blip, 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 what we type into this search engine thing. And then our habit brain is the results that come back. Mm-hmm. And the results that come back are based on the algorithm of like, what have I used most often? That's mm-hmm. going to be the top result. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if we're honest, what are the thoughts we think most often? The shitty ones.
Yeah, right.
They're going to come up first, right? Because that's the way the algorithm of the brain works out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one thing that she also said was, I don't need to stop the thoughts. I need better answers.
Yes.
Which kind of goes back to, it doesn't matter what my brain is telling me. It matters what I do next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that conversation. You know, I used to think about it as the angel and the devil on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I don't really like the devil representing my habit brain.
Yeah, I get that.
Maybe it's just two little people having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more you can do that and end with the conscious brain, the more you'll be able to discern what habit thoughts to lean into.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do we apply that to telling ourselves the story of 2024 in the way that we come out the hero?
Yeah. So, Corinne talked about this. Where did I write it down? She said the first step was to get your honest opinion down on paper. So you have to download all of everything that's in your brain, you know, and 80% of it is going to be, you know, the crap thoughts or more, right? But you got to get it all out. And then she said, step two, take a breath, take a day, take some time, come back. Look at it and decide which parts of the story you can tell in a little bit better way. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting. So if you look at it and you think, you say, well, in July I gained 10 pounds. You know, I must have not been following my plan. I must have blah, blah, blah. Or maybe you go back to July and you go, you know what? I gained 10 pounds because I had surgery at the end of June. And somebody else was bringing me food and I wasn't stopping it enough. And then in August, I took back all five of those. You know, it's almost like you can create a better story when you have the first story written down and you can start looking for the reasons behind the story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it almost sounds like you're, you know, if you're writing a story as a writer myself, like you got to get the shitty first draft on paper before you can edit it.
Yeah.
And so, like, you got to get something out before you can come back to it and be like, all right, what's a different way I can tell the story? That's, you know, a next best thought. Maybe it's slightly more neutral, slightly even more positive, potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the way you say, you have to get the first draft down, because maybe it's more than two steps. Maybe it's, well, let's see how I can neutralize this. Let's see how I can normalize it even. And then how do I want to tell the story? Because that's where the resiliency comes in, don't you think? That's mm-hmm. where you adapt the story to what you want it to tell so that you can bring it forward. Mm-hmm. Not that you're, you know, writing a book of lies, as MJ would say, but you're building on the thoughts that you want to have about the story of 2024 so that you can move into 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to look at other things. So one of the other things that she said is the brain hates open loops. It's always going to find answers, which is so true. And something that I've heard said in a slightly different way is that basically our brains are puzzle solving machines. Our brains want to have an answer. So if you ask your brain a question, the brain will find an answer. And if you can hear my dogs, they're excited about this topic too, because like questions and answers, so exciting. but that speaks to, like, if you ask your brain a question, it will find an answer. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the quality of your question matters a lot. Like, if you ask yourself, why am I so stupid? Why does this always happen? Why am I, so, you know, why can't I figure this out?
Yeah. What kind of answer are you going to come up with why am I so stupid?
Painful ones.
Painful ones. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so if we're looking for better thoughts, ask better questions and your brain will find better answers. So how about, Kathy, you want to take a second and we could brainstorm what are better ways you could ask yourself questions about 2024 to tell yourself a better story?
Well, we started with a couple of good ones when we talked about how is this, you know, how did all of that happen for me? Mm-hmm. That what is the lesson here? Mm-hmm. What else can you ask yourself? What do I want to build on? Mm-hmm. What did I see that didn't work and I can pivot with? You know, because pivot is a good, strong word too. I like pivot. Mm-hmm. Because, that's a strength that you can develop as well. Mm-hmm. You can ask yourself, where was I resilient? Where was I, she used resilient, strong, smart, brave, or persistent. You can use any of those. Where did I persist through an issue? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So many good questions to ask yourself when you're assessing a year.
Yeah. What resources did I learn? What can I bring? What do I want to bring forward into 2025? Yeah. What helped me?
What did I discover? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did I learn doesn't work? Mm-hmm. That's just as useful as learning something that does work. Gosh, so many great questions you could ask yourself to just kind of tell yourself a better story about 2024. Because asking your brain a question, you don't even have to answer it right away. Just ask the question. Your subconscious mind will get busy working on an answer.
That's right. And you know, she said something else really interesting that really like perked my brain up. She said, if you had a regain this year, so there's a story, right? There's a fact that you can apply a story to. If you had a regain this year, you have to create new processes. The old ones need a facelift. And I thought, how can you retell the story of a regain so that you could propel yourself into the new year with your pivots and with your changes and with your new processes? Mm. I think that hemmed some people up a little bit. You know, new processes, I've got the four basics. What does that mean, new processes? So maybe we can brainstorm that a little bit for people too.
Sure. And I think that regains offer us an interesting puzzle, mm-hmm. challenge, and I'm proactively using those kinds of words, not using the word problem, mm-hmm. but a regain offers us an interesting puzzle, particularly because if I lost my weight the first time using the four basics and I regained it, first of all, a regain probably is happening for a really valid reason. You're probably not giving yourself credit for the valid reasons why you had a regain. So that's one thing in itself. Like you can examine the story about your regain. Nevertheless, as you lose weight after a regain, your brain is going to remember when you lost it the first time. And it is totally going to like Cinderella up that story and be like, it was so easy the first time. all I did was make a plan and I followed it and bam, like 10 pounds, just gone. Mm-hmm. And so your new experience is different than your first one because now you have this recency bias of like, it was so easy the first time and now it's so hard. What am I doing wrong? I'm broken. Expect that. That's normal. And so just as you were saying, Kathy, like with a regain, you need, your stories need a facelift. Your tactics and your strategies need a facelift because you've got a new layer of experience on your weight loss story. And it can be helpful or hurtful depending on how you tell yourself that story.
Yeah, I agree. We also have the same bias when it comes to regains. See, I can't do this after all, which is not true because you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it goes back to, you know, what happened? How can I assess it? What did I learn from it? What are my next steps? You know, why is what happened to me, what happened with the regain normal? Mm-hmm. And how do I want to address it? You know, I don't think it has to be a big deal. I think it just requires assessment without judgment. And I think
yeah,
the whole thing when you look back at 2024.
Well, and going back to the power thought that Corinne offered us, which was, it doesn't matter what my brain's telling me, it matters what I do next. Your brain is likely telling you, just what Kathy said. See, this always happens. See, I knew I couldn't do it. See, this is an example of how I'm a failure. And on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter what your brain is telling you. It matters what you do next. If you buy into that story of like, see, this always happens. Well, what's going to happen? What are you going to do next? Go for the donuts.
Right.
Yeah.
Or do the same thing and doing that, you know, regain. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of along those lines, one of the last things she talked about that she said in the past, but it always gets me, was she was talking about wanting to quit. And she says, like, one of the things in your control is if you quit. And when one of my clients said to me recently, she was like, I don't know when it was, but I heard on a you know, replay one time where Corinne said, the only people who don't lose weight are the ones who quit. And my client was like, so I learned that lesson, like, I ain't quitting. I was like, good for you. Mm-hmm. But here's what Corinne said. She said, no one wants to quit when we're nice to ourselves. The reasons why we want to quit is because we are trashing ourselves. And we quit not to get relief from the diet. We quit to get relief from our inner critic. So, you know, how can you overcome that story of the inner critic of what your brain is telling you and say, of course my brain would tell me this. It does not matter what my brain is telling me. It matters what I do next.
Yeah.
Because the only people that don't lose weight are the people who quit. And the reason why you want to quit is not because of the diet, because of what's up here.
Beautiful. Perfect. Yeah. Right?
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Yeah, I got nothing. It's really true.
Yeah.
You know, the more we go back to those things that she talked about, decide where you were resilient, strong, smart, brave, or persistent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As those times existed, whether you were losing weight, maintaining, or anything else, if you're still here, you persisted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes. Find those times and build on them.
Yeah.
Figure out what your mindset was. Figure out what you were doing. Figure out who you were with, how you were calming your nervous system, whatever it is, so that you can build on it and move into 2025.
And speaking of which, I think that that's a great kind of segue into 2025. Is the only reason why I won't lose weight in 2025 is if I quit. And so what is it going to take for me to be resilient, to be open-minded and learn new things? Like where I want to be a year from now, I do not want to have arrived. I do not want to be at like my goal weight and be like done, mm-hmm. because secret, that doesn't exist. Like, we're never done. This is not a race with a finish line. This is a garden. We are nurturing. We are the gardeners. Like, you tend the soil, weeds come up. That's normal. Expect that. And so where I want to be a year from now is I want to be the person who is open to learning new things, who is a little bit more skilled at some of the techniques and strategies that lead to weight loss. And I want to be the person who loves me a little bit more in 2025.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to be a person who understands my body more. Yeah. I mean, under not just my hunger and enough, but I have new knees. I have, you know, new medications. I have gray hair. I have, you know, so many new things over the past couple of years. I want to understand my body more. And in understanding my body more and accepting my body more, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to continue to nurture my garden, weeds and all.
Bingo. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining me at the end of two rather long days for you. So I so appreciate you. And we appreciate Corinne for the Q&As, and we appreciate you who are listening to this Facebook Live. Thank you for being you, for being an OBS woman. Let's make 2025 the year of being the hero of your story. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.